Hello, and welcome to Nature Now. I'm your host, Nan Evans. And today's program is a little different. We will take the Port Townsend Marine Science Center's New Year's Eve Protection Island Wildlife Cruise using short interviews with folks on board last year's cruise. Amongst others, you'll hear the voices of a number of Port Townsend people, such as Denise Winter, the Executive Artistic Director of the Key City Public Theater, KPTZ's own Chris Bricker and Mermaid Carey, and Chris Hanke, third-generation captain of the Puget Sound Express boat, Glacier Spirit. But first, let's hear this week's mystery sound. Actually, you may not really need a hint to identify these critters, especially given what we will be talking about in just a few minutes. There are bunches of observations coming up on the Protection Island cruise, but I want to include just one recent sighting. Monica Fletcher excitedly shared with me that last week, she saw a flock of migrating sandhill cranes flying over her house, which is slightly west of town. Sandhill cranes are big. They fly with their heads and neck outstretched and their black legs tailing out behind. On land, they are 3 to 4 feet tall, and in flight, they have wingspans from 5.5 to nearly 8 feet across. So let's go on that cruise. We'll have a series of short interviews with the participants of the 2017 New Year's Eve Wildlife Cruise around Protection Island. You may know Protection Island is located near the mouth of Discovery Bay, and it's a really special place. Nearly 70% of the nesting seabird population of Puget Sound and the Straits nest on that island. Protection Island has one of the largest nesting colonies of rhinoceros auklets in the world and the largest nesting colony of glaucous wings gulls in Washington. The island contains one of the last two nesting colonies of tufted puffins in the Puget Sound area. There are about 1,000 harbor seals that depend upon the island for a pupping and a rest area. This 364-acre island is covered by grass and low brush with a small timbered area. High sandy bluffs for seabird nesting and low sand spits on the two ends of the island. On the water side, the Protection Island Aquatic Reserve was established by the state of Washington in 2010 to, let me quote, ensure protection of unique habitat and species and to promote sustainable stewardship of the 24,000 acres of tidelands and waters around the island. And close quote. There are at least 140 species of fish and 10 species of marine mammals that inhabit these waters. To protect this special place, there is no public access to the island, and all boats must stay at least 200 yards from the shore. The Port Townsend Marine Science Center cruises, which began in 1994, are really one of the very best ways to see and learn about the island and its wildlife. So, let's go on a cruise. New Year's Eve, last year. We'll be listening to a field recording, so in the background, you will hear engine noise, folks talking and laughing, and you'll hear commentary from the tour naturalist, Roger Risley. Can you tell me your name, and then I'll ask you a couple of questions?
Sure. My name is Annette Smith, and I'm from Idaho, Wyoming, and Oregon.
Okay. And why are you here?
I'm the camp host at Fort Worden, and I'm staying there for December and January.
And what brought you out on this tour?
I like the bird, and I like to be out on a boat, and I just said, let's go see, and it's a beautiful day. Yeah.
So tell me, what was the most exciting thing you saw?
The long-tailed ducks, because that was a lifer for me. I'd never seen them before. So that was what's been fun for me.
Can you sort of give a little description of them?
Well, they're a duck, and they usually are up in the Arctic. That's where they nest. And this time of year, they're sort of whitish, and they have very long tails. That's why they're called long.
Yeah, that one particular one we had a nice side view of. It was really long tails.
Beautiful. Yeah, and they're beautiful ducks.
And you say it's a lifeless one for you?
Yeah, that's the first time I'd ever seen one.
That's so exciting.
Yeah,
exciting.
It was.
So what else did you enjoy seeing?
Oh, I enjoyed seeing the island and the history, and I didn't realize that it was, you know, a sandstone that it was basically eroding. So that's been really interesting to hear the history of it and how it used to have homes on it, mm-hmm. and now it doesn't, mm-hmm. except for just the one, and mm-hmm. so that's been real interesting.
And I noticed you were really good at spotting birds. How long have you been bird watching?
Probably about 10 years. And then since I'm traveling more, I've gotten more interested because it's fun to see the new birds.
Mm-hmm. So. I was thrilled to see the loons.
Yeah, the loons are beautiful. Yeah.
Did we ever decide which kind they were?
I think they decided they were Pacifics because they were in closer and they didn't have as much gray on the back of the head. So I think they were Pacifics.
I know. I will go home and look that one up.
Yeah, that's why I like to take pictures, because mm-hmm. then I can go home and mm-hmm. look at the...
Anything else? Would you come back?
Oh, yeah. This has been a great tour.
Yeah.
So it's been a great tour.
Come back in the summer and see the different... Ashley, they've slowed down and they're looking at something.
We've got sea lions.
Sea lions.
We've got the sea lions. Yes, we've got the big sea lions. Stellars. Yeah.
That brown is kind of a giveaway for the stellars, too.
Yes. Of course, do they bark
or growl? That's the best way to tell.
Yeah.
I moved outside to get a better view of those stellar sea lions.
So we're just a little bit south of Fort Worden at a rock looking at stellar sea lions. Stan, have you seen stellars before?
I have.
And how do you know they're stellars?
They're
lighter color and vocalizing.
So describe the vocalizing.
It's kind of like a growl.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
What, there's about eight there, do you think?
Looks, I'd say about eight. Three in the water.
And are the ones in the water stellars, do you know?
I don't think so. I think there's a couple of California out there.
Well, thinking about mammals for a minute, the Marine Science Center tour hosts, Jan North and Sue Long, brought along a large fossilized tooth from a woolly mammoth and a little terribly cute, fuzzy, stuffed woolly mammoth.
So I'm here with Jan North and Sue Long, and
a mammoth.
How do you know it's a mammoth?
And not a mastodon.
It's not a mastodon.
Oh, because the tooth, the molar, it's a molar, and it's a flat surface, which is for grinding in the grasses, whereas a mastodon would have a peaked molar, because they eat, as an elephant does, you know, more branches and twigs.
Mm. This is quite the molar. You want to describe it?
It's beautiful, striated, and I don't know my geology, but remineralized, so there's about four different colors of browns and tans and golds. Very stripy.
We did have a dentist on board one time that could identify those different layers, but I'm afraid I can't.
So where did you get it?
Actually, I am the one that found this on Protection Island.
Really?
So we do have these mammoth molars fall out of our cliffs all around.
Yes.
So they're found quite frequently around here. Well, I don't know what frequently is, but there have been a number of them found. And years ago, the Marine Science Center was able to go out and do some beach cleanup on Protection Island. And I didn't know what it was. I picked it up and said, look at this interesting rock. And everyone around me was able to identify it immediately as a mammoth tooth.
Wow.
So it belongs to the Marine Science Center.
Yeah. And it's, it's probably, I'm guessing, 4 inches wide and maybe 8 or 10 inches long and another 8 inches high.
And then your friend,
The woolly mammoth. It's a little woolly.
It's a little woolly.
And it came from Victoria. I found it at the... They have a wonderful life-size replica of a mammoth at the Victoria Natural History place to go see a life-size mammoth and have your picture taken with it. At the Marine Science Center in our natural history exhibit, we have a couple different exhibits of a mammoth tooth as well as mastodon teeth.
Oh,
so you can compare.
Because I find I have a hard time remembering which is which.
Yes.
You know, mammoth, and grass eater.
10 to 20,000 years old, and I can't tell you more than that, but that's when they were...
And apparently they were overhunted, and that was why they disappeared.
Really? Because that would 10 to 20 would be the end of the last glacial period.
Yeah.
So there were people here hunting them then.
Back inside the boat cabin with lots of engine noise, I talked with more participants.
How about introducing yourselves and then I'll ask you some questions.
This is Chris Bricker and I'm sitting here. And I know Nan from the station.
Mermaid Carrie from Port Townsend.
Mermaid Carrie, right. And their friend?
Nobody from California.
Oh, what's your first name?
Debbie.
Debbie. What was the most exciting thing you just saw?
The most exciting thing that I just saw was... Oh, I saw an ancient murrelet.
Oh, yes.
And then I found it in the book, and yep, that's what it looked like.
Yeah.
That was very cool.
I've got to go check my book, too, because I think I saw one, but, you know, I'm never quite sure.
Yeah.
And
Chris.
You know, I'm not a birder. I mean, I could tell you that I just saw a flat-feathered southwestern flapper.
And we'd know you're making that one up.
You know I'd,
yeah.
I'd be making, you definitely would know I'm making that up. So I did see some beautiful birds today, and I just love being out on the water anyway.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, why did you decide to come out today?
So this is a tradition for us. This is our third year coming out with our friend Debbie from California, and it's something that we love to do.
And the weather's gorgeous today.
It is.
And I always like listening to Roger talk about whether it's the geology or the birds or...
I found the geology fascinating, and the idea that in 800 years that Protection Island would just be a bank,
mm-hmm.
just a sandbank.
Yeah, and I really appreciated on the north side his talking about the layers.
Yes.
How some of it was consolidated, sort of solidy till, and others was outwash and that was slanted. And,
yeah. And I was surprised by all the deer that we saw, and I was trying to imagine, if I was a deer on the mainland, would that grass look green enough for me to swim 3 miles over to have a nibble?
And if it did, then how did that deer get back and spread the word? That's what I want to know.
Yes, or they all see the green grass.
Exactly.
That green was amazing, too.
Just, so vivid.
Yeah, it's like, wow.
Yeah. Gorgeous.
Yeah. I guess the other thing that was old squaw, the long-tailed ducks. I'd never seen so many. I think I've seen one in my life. I was surprised at that. Yeah.
The other thing that I learned is that I need a new pair of binoculars.
Next, I chatted with a group sharing cheese and crackers and much good cheer.
Denise Winter. I'm here with Dee Dee Wigley, my brother Ed Miller, and my partner, Albert Mendez.
So what brought you out on New Year's Eve on the cruise?
My lovely hood and gracious host.
Your gracious host?
Dee Dee.
Dee Dee.
Because I come almost every year. And I used to come alone, and I saw how much fun people were having with others.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like a Christmas present.
Yes, I like that. What's been the most interesting thing today?
Oh,
well, I thought that the forest, how it's moving from one side of the island to the other, was fascinating. I had never really thought about that.
So do you want to describe that a little bit?
The trees that exist on the east side, I think, of the Protection Island, there are no saplings because of the direction that the wind comes, and so it's pushing the seeds in the opposite direction. So when you look at it, there's older growth, and the trees get shorter and shorter and shorter as you go to the west, because that's where the saplings are. So eventually, you don't think of a forest as a moving entity, but the forest is literally moving across the island.
Yeah, I thought that was
pretty fascinating. I had never seen that depicted in that way before. It was very obvious when you looked at it. You could really tell what was happening in terms of the environment.
And I thought the difference between the north and the south sides of the island was really interesting.
Yes, and let's see, also fascinating to see the deer on that sheer slope. That was pretty incredible to view. And thinking about those deer getting to the island.
It's also, I mean, I've done this many times, and I will say that Roger is usually the naturalist. And almost every time that I come, I learn something different.
Yeah.
He never really tells you the same stuff every time. I mean, you'll hear things more than once. I think it's very interesting that the seasons are reversed, that right now it's very green on Protection Island, whereas in the summer it's brown, mm-hmm. which would explain the deer swimming.
And the other good thing, reason too.
Yeah, the other thing is, I remember, and I don't know if he said this trip, but that at one point they put salt out on the island for the deer. Did he talk about that?
What he explained was that, of course, a group of naturalists decided that they ought to expand the deer population because they were down to about 20, so they started putting food and water out for them. And within months, they expanded, and where there were more than 80 on the island. Well, then, as a result of all these deer now, they were treading on the habitat of this some kind of rhinoceros, and destroying their habitat. So they realized that maybe nature should have been left alone.
How do the deer communicate, hey, food over here? I mean, do they come back and they smell it on their breath? I mean, how do all those deer know to go over there? They don't have the internet. It's like, how did we know that Paul was dead so quickly before the internet? I mean, these are questions that still fascinate me. But I do. How did the deer know?
So here's a quick follow-up to the deer question.
So, Dee Dee, you asked Roger, what did he say about the answer to
the deer dilemma?
To the deer dilemma.
That he does not know. He does not know. Well, that isn't to say he didn't say no one knows. I don't think he said he did not know.
And I'm surprised. If anyone around here would know, he would know.
As the daylight faded, we returned to the Port Hudson Marina, and after everyone was safely ashore, I sat down with the Puget Sound Express captain to talk about his experiences.
Chris, what's your whole name?
Christopher Hanke.
So you're related to the family that does this, right? And how long have you been doing this cruise?
Well, we've been doing this cruise 25 years. My grandfather started it, and then my dad continued it. And now Dad and I take turns. I've driven it the last 3 or 4 mm-hmm. years. But it's actually one of my favorite trips of the year. I always look forward to it. We always have amazing weather, and you get this time of year, you get more visibility than you do at any other time. So you see mountains that you don't normally see. And it's just really clear and crisp.
Yeah, the mountains today were amazing. All the Cascades and all the way up into Canada.
The range you can see, again, is much more than you can see mm-hmm. most of the rest of the year.
I noticed you're pretty good at spotting birds, too. Are you a naturalist by any inclination?
Not by any training, just by years of the boat and picking it up. I'm probably better with identifying whales than birds. But, it's... You do it enough times, you get to get some commonality. The winter, again, it throws us off because, you know, birds change their plumage. Mm-hmm. So a lot of birds we're used to seeing in the summertime, it gets a little, you have to remember they look different in the wintertime.
Yeah, I was interested in the pigeon guillemot, which I'm used to being black and orange legs. And they're not now.
They're not now, yep.
So exactly. What do they look like now?
They go from black to white. You know, they're much more white. They still have the bright red feet. That's how I'm able to identify them.
If you see them flying.
If you see them fly, yep. And they're one of my favorite birds to watch because, you know, they don't have any landing skills. So when they come into land, they do the belly bounce, slide on the water maneuver. Yeah,
right.
Entertains a lot of kids.
So that's another good way in the wintertime because I know I saw several of them and it took me quite a while to realize, oh, those are pigeon guillemots in their winter plumage.
Exactly.
What's the thing that you found sort of most interesting today?
I thought the stellar sea lions at Craven Rock were definitely the highlight for me. That Craven Rock's a great spot. It can be hit and miss. Sometimes we don't find any sea lions there. So, you know, that was a full house. Mm-hmm. The rock was completely packed. And having, you know, the stellars chase the California around, that's definitely an interesting interaction between mm-hmm. two species. Yeah, I always find that interesting.
Yeah, I was watching that California sea lion just before we left, sort of almost tentatively get up on that rock.
Yeah, there's a lot of big animals, a lot bigger than him.
Yeah, really.
And he hung out there for a while. It didn't seem like he was going to have to leave, so.
That was interesting, yeah.
Yeah.
So have you noticed, over the years you've been out on the water, have you noticed things change?
For sure, from season to season, things change. I mean, even being able to notice the island change shape over the years because, you know, it's all glacial till. You definitely, you know, the island, particularly in the wintertime because we don't see it as much, you'll go out there and notice dramatic changes in the cliffs, or you notice the slope getting longer or the sand spit getting longer. The biggest wildlife change I think we've seen is more eagles, and we have elephant seals, at least one pair of them in the summertime out there.
Are they breeding out there?
I don't know if it's a pair that is breeding. It's cool to see a northern elephant seal hanging out on the beach.
Yeah.
And definitely a species we haven't had here for a long time.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember when there was a northern elephant seal pup that, no, it wasn't a pup. It was an adult that came in for its molt that hung out.
Right.
Yeah, and it hung out near the Nifty 50 for a while.
When I was a kid, we'd see them once in a rare while at the island. But now, in the summertime, they're pretty much consistently there on Canem Spit.
Have you heard any scientists speculate as to why?
I have not, no. Hmm. So, yeah, I haven't heard anybody's. My speculation would be, you know, the species is recovering and they've just rediscovered a new area.
Hmm.
You know, our harbor seal population has grown a lot in the last 20 years, 30 years. And that's bringing in, you know, transient orcas, which is changing the dynamic around here.
Because on the Little Spit on the west side,
Canem on the west,
Canem, there was that group of I don't know, a dozen or so, maybe more. I'm really
that's
bad at numbers.
Group.
Yeah,
that's a very small group. In the summertime, that whole southern beach will be pretty much harbor seals east to west. I mean, you'll have 300 harbor seals hanging out there.
Good transient food, yes.
I'm amazed we don't see them there as much as we do because we go there very often in the summer, and there's not always a lot of transients in that location. You know, out towards Dungeness, that's usually where you'll find more transient orcas.
So, one last question. What do you like about this job?
What do I like about this job? There's a lot of things I like. It's you're out in a dynamic environment, and no 2 days are the same. You never have the same set of variables every day. And so it's a challenge to try to put together, you know, the best trip and see the most amount of wildlife in a set amount of time and keep it comfortable. Yeah, it's always interesting, which is really nice. So
that's a great answer too. I love that. Yeah. Thanks for your time so much, and thanks for a great tour today.
Yeah, Happy New Year.
And Happy New Year to you.
Yeah.
I think there are still chances to go on this year's tour. It'll be on Monday, October 31st. Go to the Port Townsend Marine Science Center website for details and a link for getting reservations. Be sure to take along warm clothes, rain gear, binoculars, camera, snacks, and a sense of adventure. Well, for other end-of-the-year, beginning-of-the-next-year events, join Admiralty Audubon for their 5th New Year's Day Bird Walk at Irondale Bay near Chimicum Creek. The group will meet at 9:30 in the morning on New Year's Day at Irondale County Park. Check the Admiralty Audubon website for details. If plants are more your thing, join the Native Plant Society for their 15th annual New Year's Day Teddy Bear Hike. Bringing your teddies is not required, but it is fun. The Native Plant Society will welcome 2019 by walking along quiet trails among big trees, beside carpets of moss, surrounded by rhododendrons and huckleberry. Meet in the main parking lot at the Fort Townsend State Park. You can contact Fred Weinman or check out the Olympic Peninsula Native Plant Society website for more information. Lastly, let's hear that mystery sound again. Well, that was a group of stellar sea lions. Those impressive, low-frequency vocalizations sound like roars, unlike the California sea lions' barks. Adult males are much larger than the females. Adult males may be up to 11 feet long and can weigh up to 2,500 pounds. That's more than a ton. Adult females are a mere 7.5 to 9.5 feet long and weigh up to about 800 pounds. These large size differences increase some weird vulnerability because if they're disturbed while they're hauled out on land, the larger animals actually may crush the smaller ones if they are sensing danger and are fleeing towards the water. Both sexes have long, whitish whiskers on their muzzles, which they use to sense prey and feel their way underwater. Stellar sea lions are opportunistic predators. They'll forage and feed primarily at night over hundreds of species of fish. They'll eat squid and they'll eat octopus. Well, that's it for this episode of Nature Now. We hope you have enjoyed our program of authentic and eclectic news and information about the natural community where we live. My thanks to our steadfast editing crew. Today's sound engineer and editor is Nora Petrick. Contact Nature Now hosts if you have comments, observations, or ideas. You can email us at naturenow@kptz.org. That's Nature Now, no spaces, at kptz.org. Nature Now airs at 12.05 p.m. on Wednesdays, with repeats here on KPTZ at 91.9 FM, on Thursdays at 5.05 p.m., and Saturdays at 12.30 p.m. Recent podcasts are also available on the KPTZ website. Happy New Year, and thanks for listening.